jam, pump it up while your feet are stumping. And the jam is pumping.
I hope your feet are stumping every time I lay down some facts and truth. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to give us a call or a text to 855-75-CIVIC-855-752-4842. Get your booty in the conversation. My thanks to Annalise Eicher, Director of Communications at Planned Parenthood. Little scheduling snafu. Don't worry, we're going to have Ms. Eicher on the show this week. We will sort that out. Been talking about healthcare this week. Healthcare under Joe Biden for Biden's top 100 greatest policy hits or proposals for his second term. Today, listed off a myriad things, a whole laundry list, if you will, of things that Joe Biden has done to protect women's full rights as citizens on equal footing with men in this country. I want to summarize this in case you weren't listening before. Do you believe that the government should be able to track your movements using your cell phone? Do you believe that the government should be able to look into your personal medical files, you know, to potentially prosecute you for obtaining medical care where it is legal? Do you believe that you should be forced to endure a medical condition that might kill you, or a medical procedure that might kill you, or the failure to have that procedure that might kill you? That the government, based on someone's religious beliefs that you don't share, should be able to, you know, control your body in that way? Do you believe that if you show up at an emergency room and there's a procedure that will save your life, and if you don't have it, you'll die, that you should be able to reasonably expect that doctors in the emergency room will provide that care? Do you believe that the religious beliefs of some should not result in the physical oppression, the physical use, the physical commandeering of the bodies of other people? Do you believe that babies shouldn't have to live a day in pain or misery to die because of someone else's sincerely held religious belief? Do you believe that you should be able to access critical prescription medications at a reasonable to low to zero cost? Yeah. Guess what? You're pro-choice. Let's move on, shall we? Turning the page here, folks. I mean, not only are Donald Trump's statements about abortion completely and totally nuts, as in women should be punished, but I haven't thought about what that should be. No idea.
Not even, like, the conversation has shown that he has no clue what is happening. And if you think he's going to do anything, he also has said, I don't have to do anything now because we've already fixed it.
That's that guy. He also says really, really, really stupid things about everything. Okay? It's not just the sharks and Hannibal Lecter and electrocution and all that nonsense. That, too, is stupid. But he says stupid stuff about really, really, first of all, technical and critically important things. So let me ask you this question, everybody. Do you want to pay more, like lots more, for everything that you need? Gas, groceries, clothes, school supplies, housing, everything. Do you want to pay more than you are right now? I think I'm hearing a resounding no being screamed at every radio or smart speaker device where you can always find Civic Media by asking your Alexa or what have you to play WAUK or your local Civic Media affiliate. So Trump had a meeting last week with a bunch of GOP leaders that are in the House and the Senate. And many of them had just absolutely effusive praise for the president. It was the best meeting ever. In fact, they sound a lot like Trump talking about their meeting with Trump. Let's just take a listen to a couple of those bananas fawning reportage about their meeting with Trump.
Here's some Speaker Mike Johnson.
It was our great pleasure to host the president this morning, the 45th president, who will soon to be reelected as the 47th president.
Totally believes that.
Mm-hmm.
President Trump brought an extraordinary amount of energy and excitement and enthusiasm this morning. That is what we're seeing in the party throughout the country.
The energy is Adderall.
People recognize right now in this country that this will be the most consequential election, certainly of our lifetimes and probably in maybe in the last century or more in America. Everything is at stake.
He's even got the sniff down.
We talked about how to grow this House majority and how he will help in doing so, and then how we'll help him as well.
By the way, this was the meeting. You probably saw photos of this. They got him Donald Trump a great big birthday cake because the meeting was on his birthday, and they sang him happy birthday. I mean, it's a whole thing. So that's Mike Johnson. Best meeting ever. He's so energetic. This is going to be amazing. Everybody knows it's really important election. We got another fawning reportage.
Yeah, we got a little Mitch McConnell.
Ooh. He got a lot of standing ovations. It was an entirely positive meeting.
Standing ovations.
Okay, so the question is begged. What brilliant policy proposals might Donald Trump have made at this birthday meeting that got a standing ovation and had such wonderful energy behind it? Well, I'll tell you. He raised the idea of abolishing all income tax and simply increasing tariffs for all imported goods into the country. Some, I don't know, 40 plus 60, a ton. Okay? This is according to Representative Thomas Massey, Republican of Kentucky, who wrote this on X. Most intriguing policy idea from GOP meeting at the Capitol Hill Club this morning. Trump briefly floated the concept of eliminating the income tax and replacing it with tariffs. I'm going to talk about this. If I don't get anywhere else today, I just wanted to. This is insane. If a person who wanted to be a page on Capitol Hill during their interview said this, they wouldn't get the job. If a congressional intern or someone interning for the Federal Reserve, not yet graduated from college, said this, they would be fired. It's that bananas, okay?
You have a better chance of getting universal basic income happening
than this, okay? God help us if it's not. The individual income tax raises $2 trillion annually, okay, on a base of personal income of around $15 trillion. This, according to Erica York, senior economist and research director at the Nonpartisan Tax Foundation. Customs duties currently raise about $80 billion annually on imports of $3.4 trillion. Okay? So $80 billion to $2 trillion. She just said this. Good luck milking $2 trillion of tax revenue out of $3 trillion of imports. That's what you got to do. It doesn't work. It's so stupid.
If you understand the basic concept, just the basic idea of what he's trying to do, there is no way you can't understand how the Affordable Care Act or having universal health care can work. Because if you understand that, you'll understand this.
It's just risk pooling for the Affordable Care Act actually works. You cannot eliminate the income tax and increase tariffs. You would have to increase tariffs by more than 100%, okay?
That's insane.
Brian Riedel, a conservative budget expert, basically wrote on X that this is stupid. He's the one that said this. If a 20-year-old interviewing for a House internship suggested replacing the income tax with a massive tariff, they'd be laughed out of the interview. This would result in an increase in taxes by $8,300 for the middle 20% of households. Because the tax, it doesn't matter if it's an income tax or a tariff. If you end up paying the load, that's dollars are fungible, right? They're the, doesn't matter which sort of tax, if it's a tariff on import. Your taxes, you, your families would go up by $8,300. That, according to the Center for American Progress. Oh, by the way, what the very, very wealthiest would pay goes way down. So what we're talking about is what your after, quote, tax income would be. What are you left over after paying for all this stuff? Even a more modest version of this, a 10% tax on all imports, a 10% tariff. A tariff is a tax. I should have said that at the outset. And a 60% tax or tariff on all imports of from China would result in a $2,500 increase to your tax bill for the typical family. What are you talking about? You would pay more for gas. You'd pay more for oil, for toys, for food, for clothes, for school supplies, for anything. And here's the rub. While producers would initially pay the bulk of the increased tax on imports, what do business owners do when their supply costs go up? Brian?
Pass it on to you, the consumer.
Ding, 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 ding. Brian and you, the listener, get an A in microeconomics today on the Maggie Dawn Show. Yeah, you end up spending more on everything. You won't believe what a spokesperson for the RNC said about tariffs. You will not believe it. I will tell you when we come back after these very brief messages. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. We're talking about how Donald Trump proposes to screw the middle class and working people across the country.
I know more about drones than anybody.
I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to give us a call? You want to join in? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Donald Trump last Thursday floated the idea of getting rid of the income tax and replacing it with an increase on tariffs. To do that, tariffs would need to be increased. What's a tariff? A tariff is a tax on an import. It makes imports more expensive. To replace the $2 trillion that we raise every year in income tax, you'd have to somehow figure out how to get that from $3 trillion in imports. So you're talking about nearly 100% tax on imports. When the cost of imports go up, it makes producing goods in the United States more expensive. When producing goods in the United States becomes more expensive, producers, businesses pay that increased cost on to consumers eventually. So Trump's proposal would result in massive tax cuts for the ultra rich because they wouldn't be paying any personal income tax anymore, the little that they do pay. And also, there's only so many like outfits, cars, and houses that you need to buy. The ultra rich, they just have money sitting around that they invest and that generates more money. That's why we should be taxing wealth like we tax work, which we don't. So that's why ultra rich will make out like bandits under Trump's proposal. You, me, and everybody else that works for a living, we get screwed. Our tax burden, even though income taxes would go away, that would be replaced because we'd be the taxes on the imports, that would result in an $8,000 increase in our total tax liabilities. Even a modest increase in the tax on imports of 10% and a 60% tax on imports would result in a $2,500 tax increase for the typical family. You'd pay $260 more for your electronics, $160 more for clothing, $120 more for pharmaceutical drug purchases. You'd pay more for gas and oil, toys and food, school supplies, blah, 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 blah. Because as every single economist knows, as Brian knows, as all of you know, when companies that make stuff, when it costs them more to make the stuff, they just pass that cost along to you. And during this period, they have a thing called greedflation that even when the cost to produce stuff go back down, they just keep the prices up because they want to gouge you for all the money they can possibly grab.
I feel like this is the exact argument that is used against the minimum wage being raised. Because, oh, if we raise the minimum wage, they'll never be able to make the money and it'll cost you more for your cheeseburgers. They want to take your hamburgers away.
That's on the labor side, not actual product inputs.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's about paying human beings.
Commodities, nonetheless.
Yep. Here's what the RNC spokesperson said. The notion that tariffs, which are taxes, the notion that tariffs are a tax on U.S. consumers is a lie pushed by outsourcers and the Chinese Communist Party. That is the biggest load of crap that I have heard in a very long time. False. That is a knowing lie. Woman who said that, her name is Anna Kelly. Anna Kelly, you're a liar. You're a stinking dirty liar. The entire value of all goods that we import each year is $3 trillion. Not the tariffs on them, not the tax on the imports. The total value of all imported goods, $3 trillion. So how are you going to make up $2 trillion in taxes? On $3 trillion of
That's like two-thirds of that amount.
Yes.
That's a lot.
In order to make up the lost income tax revenue, which would by far be a windfall to the wealthiest of the wealthiest of the wealthiest, because we don't tax wealth like we tax work, Trump would have to impose 100% tax on the value of everything that we import. In other words, the cost of everything that we import would more than double. Who do you think ends up holding the bag on that, Anna Kelly? Companies, businesses, or do you think they're going to screw the little guy? I mean, come on.
Also, doesn't that put a damper on the movement, just the general movement of goods and services in general? Because that's how people make money.
Brian gets A++ in his economics class this afternoon, because what happens when the price of goods goes way up? People demand less of the goods. So guess what would happen? U.S. demand for imported goods would go down. Now, we've eliminated the income tax. We still may need to find the $2 trillion. So as demand for imported goods or products that use imported goods to create the final product, as that goes down, what do you have? Massive exploding deficits. And even higher taxes on the remaining imports, because you got to make up the difference. And now we don't have any income tax. And so what do you have? You have a downward careening economic spiral, which would devastate the entire U.S. economy, impoverish middle class and working class and poor folks in this country while providing the most grotesque wealth windfall to the most richest people on the planet.
Yeah, but all the people with cash would be just fine. They could just buy up all the properties from it.
Oh, and don't take my word for it. We actually tried this once before. Remember the Great Depression? We did this thing called the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act. Dramatically increased the tariffs, which is just a fancy word for taxes on imports. That made the Great Depression so much worse. What Trump is proposing is like Smoot-Hawley on steroids.
Did it work? Anyone? Anyone know the effects? It did not work.
Yes. And the United States sunk further into the Great Depression.
It's a line from Ferris Bueller. It's a freaking comedy bit from just a awesome film from the early 90s. So it should come as no surprise, everybody, that the vast majority of Fortune 50 and Fortune 100 CEOs think Trump is a menace not just to my rights as a woman to be treated equally under the law, to men, to the rights of LGBTQIA people, to have the government stay out of their bedrooms and bodies, but a menace to our very economic system. We'll talk more about that when we come back, because this one's got me real mad. But, you know, let's. How'd it go, Lindsey Graham? Oh, it was fabulous. It was the best meeting ever. How'd it go, Mike Johnson? Oh, he was the most energetic. We got all kinds of ideas for his next term. Like screwing you and me.
At least it's an actual idea.
Yeah, the stuff he does know, it's terrible. Anyways, I'm Maggie Don. Please come back. We're going to take a couple of quick messages. You'll hear your farm update, and I'll be back along with Brian Kelly here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
They want to take away your hamburgers.
Anyone? Anyone?
I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I was talking about, we have been discussing one of the most incredibly dangerous, stupid things that Donald Trump said last week. He actually made a policy proposal in a closed-door meeting with GOP senators and congressmen. It is so stupid that conservative economists nearly universally said, yeah, that's really stupid and it wouldn't work. Here's what he proposed. This is according to GOP Representative Thomas Massey, Republican from Kentucky. Most intriguing policy idea from the GOP meeting at the Capitol Hill Club this morning. This is last Thursday, June 13th. Quote, Trump briefly floated the concept of eliminating the income tax and replacing it with tariffs. Tariffs are a tax. They're a tax on imports. Okay, that's the first thing I want you to think of. Anybody out there, if you're having a discussion, if you yourself are a conservative, but if you're an independent, don't care about politics, or a Democrat, who should I vote for? Vote for the guy that doesn't want to drive the country into the second Great Depression. Vote for the guy that doesn't say or propose economic policy ideas that are so stupid that an applicant who's 20 years old for a congressional internship would get laughed out of their interview. That, according to a conservative budget expert, Brian Riedel. Say to your friend, go look up what Trump said about tariffs, about eliminating the income tax and replacing it with tariffs. Go look that up. Oh, that's great. I don't want to pay income tax. Tariffs are a tax. You'll pay tax either way. The question is, do you pay more or less than you currently do? Center for American Progress estimates that Trump's proposal would raise taxes by $8,300 for the average American household. It gets worse than that. It would make everything that everyone buys more expensive. It would make the wealthy more wealthy. And because the cost of almost everything that we buy would go up, demand would go down, requiring even higher tariffs, which create a cycle. It's a snake eating its own body. It just spins us completely out of control, spinning us into a Great Depression, the second one our country has seen. By the way, we know this because in the first Great Depression, they tried this. It was called Smoot-Hawley. And it made the Depression what? What?
Anyone?
Anyone? It plunged the United States further into the Great Depression.
Did it work? Anyone? Anyone know the effects? It did not work.
Yeah. Donald Trump tweeted or on his whatever truth social nonsense. On June 19th, he then said this. The Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act was passed after the Great Depression had already started. No blank, Sherlock. If you want to study tariffs and how powerful they are, study the administration of President William McKinley. America had so much money, they didn't know what to do.
The most corrupt person that has ever touched the Oval Office until he did.
Correct.
Universally despised by pretty much anyone, even in his own party, who is like, no.
So, again, you're out there. Talking point. Yeah, did you hear what Donald, this stupid of stupid idea, even according to conservatives, for the elimination of income tax and just raising tariffs? First of all, tariffs are a tax. You'd still pay that tax. Everybody in the middle class, it makes stuff that we buy more expensive. We have to buy more stuff. Stuff takes up a larger proportion of our income than it does for super wealthy people because they don't, as a proportion of their total amount of income or wealth, they don't have to buy as much stuff. It would make the super rich richer. It would make all of us pay more, thousands of dollars more in tax every year. By the way, the math doesn't work. We wouldn't be able to raise enough revenue to match the current amount of revenue that we generate from the income tax. It would plunge us into a Great Depression. It would end up creating exploding deficits, which would then provide conservatives with the basis to gut Social Security and Medicare. And if you didn't want to believe me,
so
let me just say this.
Please.
Here's what a CEO who requested to remain anonymous said after attending the business roundtable last month, where Donald Trump spoke to a room that was basically silent for the entirety of his remarks. No applause, no murmurs of assent. Reports are that this is basically the CEOs of the largest companies in the country. He did his old shtick, okay? The room was silent, pin drop. If the country's top CEOs think this guy's full of it, who do you think is probably correct? Here was the CEO who wanted to remain anonymous, who is in that business roundtable. This is what he said. And it's about as clear as a bell. Trump doesn't know what he's talking about. Trump doesn't know what he's talking about.
Pretty much.
I'm sorry. You want
to? No. I'm going back to McKinley and mostly the, you know, the crazy folks who go, oh, everything's socialism and all these evil socialists and all this everything. Socialism's horrible and everything. Hey, what was the result of McKinley and his corrupt administration? Was it four terms of democratic socialism and direct result FDR. The New Deal. Yeah. So is that what you guys want to do? That's kind of the stuff I'm into, but I mean if you want to go the McKinley route, go for it. I can't believe that he would bring up McKinley.
Because no one's proofing his tweets.
William Henry Harrison, the paragon of health.
And this, okay, all comes as prequel to an op-ed that came out on Sunday in the New York Times titled, I Know What America's Leading CEOs Really Think of Donald Trump, written by Dr. Jeffrey Sonnenfeld, who is the president of the Yale Chief Executive Leadership Institute. He works with roughly 1,000 chief executive officers every year. He runs a school for them. He started it 35 years ago, and he speaks with business leaders every day. Their surveys show that 60 to 70% of this CEO group are registered Republicans. No shock there, right? I mean, obvi. And what Dr. Sonnenfeld writes in this New York Times opinion piece is that with the exception of one or two named CEOs who have come out and are publicly talking about Donald Trump, and while they may not like Joe Biden or all of his policies, the vast majority of America's CEOs, again, they don't love Joe Biden, but they can tolerate him, and they are completely afraid of what Donald Trump might do with his trite ideas to the economy and to our democracy. Consider this fact. Not a single Fortune 100 chief executive has donated to Donald Trump so far this year, which indicates a major break from the overwhelming business and executive support for Republican presidentials in past campaigns. Not one. Ask your MAGA cult friends, hey, name me a single Fortune 100 CEO that's donated to the Trump campaign. They'll go, all of them. Well, the fact is that the number is zero. Not one, not a single one, not a single penny. Why do you think he's trying to shake down big oil? Give me $1 billion, I'll roll back all the environmental regulations so that you can kill the planet. Sound good? Super. Here are other reasons that CEOs are ticked. It's not just the stupid ideas. It's not just the man has no idea what he's talking about. Remember what he did during his term in office? He often would sort of like pit large businesses against each other. Oh, well, I like this company, but not this one. I'll help this one, but not this one. I'll help this state with this business, but not this other one. That's not a role for the president. It's not capitalism. Remember when Trump called anti-racism protesters basically the moral equivalent of white supremacists? Well, very good people on both sides. And like nearly all of his business roundtable, all those CEOs resigned from it. Yeah, they don't like that either. Dozens of the Fortune 100 CEOs called for his impeachment following January 6th. They know that there won't be the reasonable voices of his first term, that you will have know-nothing, junior varsity, second-tier MAGA loyalists who are simply out for self-promotion and self-enrichment. That's who's going to be in the Trump administration if he gets elected to his second term. Not your tier one folks. It is strictly junior varsity. Think Rudy Giuliani everywhere. Okay? Trump knows nothing about monetary or fiscal policy. He's proposed stripping the Federal Reserve of its independence. CEOs, business leaders don't want that.
That's like the...
That's stupid.
I'd like to call Alexander Hamilton, please.
Yeah. And guess who else wants to strip the Fed of its independence? The Heritage Foundation, Project 2025. More on that later this week.
Moron.
Indeed, moron. He wants to put in place yield curve control to force interest rates lower. Let me just, no, that's not how this works. Wants to devalue the dollar. That's going to make inflation go even higher. I mean, this is crazy. What Donald Trump is proposing, including the tariff nonsense, is actually closer to Karl Marx than free market capitalism. It's closer to socialism than it is capitalism. I'm here to tell you that. That's the reality. That's why not a single, not one Fortune 100 CEO has donated a single dollar to Donald Trump's reelection campaign. So don't believe the hype. They keep to, oh, he's so pro-business. No, he's not. Not $1 from one single Fortune 100 CEO to the Trump campaign to date. Not a single buck.
I'm trying to think of what this chaos would help or who that would help or on the
Donald global- Trump. It helps Donald Trump.
But on the global stage, the other side of the world would really benefit from us being a bunch of idiots.
Completely destabilized. It helps Vladimir Putin. It helps Viktor Orban. It helps the authoritarians and the most repressive governments in the world. Because guess who makes out like a bandit when the world economy, when the world political order is plunged into chaos? The people that control the means of production and all of the wealth because they can control government. That's the linchpin. You think Donald Trump would give up his access to control the means of production, to partner with authoritarians to continue to enrich himself? I don't think so. That's what we're talking about, and the Heritage Foundation happily going along with it. By the way, lots of pluses to Biden's economic policies. Again, this is according to Dr. Sonnenfeld, the president of the Yale Chief Executive Leadership Institute. Let me list a few of them. Investments in infrastructure throughout his first term, plus to rebuild highways and bridges. That pumps an economy up, pumps GDP up. That helps also reduce supply chain disruption, which helps all consumers and businesses. Again, people, if you're like, well, stuff's still expensive. Two reasons. Greedflation, businesses jacked their prices up because the supply chain got disrupted. It ain't there anymore, but they haven't brought prices down. And the second thing is, can you imagine how bad it would be if Donald Trump had won in 2020? Sometimes this is about reduction of harm and pain, which is harder for everybody to feel because it still hurts out there. Also, third reason, Republican policies dating back to Nixon, which has created the enormous wealth inequality, which is simply accelerating. That's it in a nutshell. Also, Biden's support for domestic chip manufacturing, electric vehicle production has led to record corporate profits. And oh, this! The United States is now the world's largest oil and natural gas producer. Ha! Fact. We'll be back. It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
People are very, very impressed with what I've done to business people.
Some facts. Who knew? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to get in on this for the last segment of the day, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phones. Jack from Merrimack, you're on the air.
Thank you, Maggie. I just have one very simple observation. We got people screaming, oh, the economy's terrible, the economy's terrible. Well, as you pointed out, it really isn't, and that's just simply a flat-out lie. And the problem is we got people that believe it. Those that do, I have one question for you. Please, name me one single, because this is what our government will become if Trump wins, one single authoritarian regime that has financial success anywhere in the world. It sure isn't Red China. They're dependent on essentially slave labor for millions. It definitely isn't Russia. They have no middle class. I've been to Russia. I know that. And let's not even go into North Korea. So the bottom line is this: if he wins, those people that are griping about the economy, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Bag it and tag it, Jack. That's exactly right. This is my point about, like, where does all this lead, right? Who ends up winning? Well, you look at those authoritarian regimes. There's an oligarchy, right? What do we see sort of coming to fruition in the United States, this exploding wealth inequality? It's basically an oligarchical class of the people that get to tell presidents what to do because they've got so much money. You know, like Big Oil, who Donald Trump asked for $1 billion in return for which he'd wipe all sorts of environmental regulations off the books. It only works for the wealthiest of the wealthy. It concentrates political, economic, and social power in the hands of very, very few that is subject to the authoritarian whims of whomever happens to have their finger on the button. It's not capitalism. It's not capitalism. But, you know, it wouldn't be a way to kick off my week on the show without talking about my favorite judge and yours, Aileen Cannon, So Aileen Cannon, she's the judge overseeing the super secret spy documents case where Donald Trump stole our national security secrets and stored them in a bathroom. And maybe he showed them to, definitely showed them to some journalists and who knows who else. And we still haven't accounted for all of our super secret spy documents. And why was he criminally charged? Why was there a raid on Mar-a-Lago? Because for a year and a half, the government asked really nicely, can you please give them back to us? They're not yours. You can't keep super secret spy documents. And he refused. Then they sent him a subpoena and then another one. And then they asked his lawyer, can you please have him give back the documents? And he didn't. And then he had them moved around. And then they're like, well, we've got a warrant. We got to go look for him. So they went over there and looked for him. And what did they find? After he told them that he had turned over all the super secret spy documents, what did they find when they went onto his property? Super secret spy documents that are the property of the United States of America. That's the case in Florida. So what has Aileen Cannon been up to for the past 3 days? Holding what can only amount to the most useless series of completely meritless, no value, stupid arguments, hearings on stupid arguments brought by Donald Trump's lawyers. His lawyers have the right to make stupid arguments to try to slow the case down. That's, everybody gets the right to a defense. But what you hope is judges don't waste the public's time in dispensing of such stupid motions. No. She's been slowing down the case. Now there's no trial date. And she spent the last 3 days doing just that. What have the stupid motions been on? Whether or not there should be a gag order on Donald Trump. Yeah, there should be, obviously. He threatens people all the time. Whether the special prosecutor's office, the funding structure, is legal. It is. The Supreme Court just decided a case on a much more challenging federal agency, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and said, yep, that funding's legal. There's no freaking way funding of the special prosecutor's office isn't legal. It's stupid. And then this, whether or not Jack Smith was legally appointed as special counsel. By the way, Hunter Biden tried that. Other conservatives have tried that argument. They all fail. Well, but long hearing on that too. Stupid. By the way, there was a Supreme Court case on this, U.S. v. Nixon. Today, she's having another stupid hearing. Today's stupid hearing is about whether or not the government should be able to use the notes taken by Trump's then-lawyer, Evan Corcoran, that describe in detail Donald Trump's attempts to obstruct the investigation and the ongoing prosecution of him related to his illegal refusal, his criminal refusal to turn over the super secret spy documents, right? It's his lawyer saying Donald Trump is basically trying to obstruct the investigation. This is where, if you remember the indictment, Corcoran says Donald Trump gestured in a plucking motion as if he was taking documents out of a box. And where Trump mused to his lawyer, well, what if there just were no documents? Wouldn't that be better? You know, these facts that are totally
It'd
clear.
It'd be better if you gave them back earlier, but anyway.
Hey! That's the stupid hearing today. Why is it so stupid? It was in furtherance of a freaking crime. You don't get attorney-client privilege if you're trying to perpetuate a crime. Oh, and this. A D.C. federal judge already ruled on that months and months and months and months. And months and months and months ago. And found that indeed, it was in furtherance of a crime, and so the attorney-client privilege didn't apply. She's a real gem, isn't she? And I didn't even go into her complaints about a lawyer's tone yesterday in court. I wonder if she'd like my tone. Probably not.
I think your tone is fantastic.
Well, thank you, Brian. And I thank each and every one of you for listening. Stay cool out there. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together.
Holy mackerel, folks. Let's get to work.